This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Coming up in this special edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to be talking to James Christopher Evans in North Carolina. Also, we'll be talking to Zane someplace in southern Utah, which we'll never know. And then I'm here in northern Utah, in Logan, Utah, and we're going to talk about professional wrestling all over the United States and the world. And first, we go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's James Christopher Evans. Hi, Chris.
Oh, my gosh. It's a rainy day here in Winston-Salem. But we're going to go into the fire as soon as we start talking about professional wrestling.
Yeah, you have rain. We have snow here. It's been snowing all day long. But
well, you can keep the snow. You can keep the snow, and I'll keep the rain.
All right, you do that.
Go ahead.
What a year 2019 was in podcasting and professional wrestling. We found ourselves happy at times and angry at other times, and completely baffled at sometimes. So,
oh my gosh.
Let's just start it off. What we're going to do in this segment here is we're going to talk about some of the good things that we enjoyed during the year of 2019, like who our favorite superstars were. So, Chris, I'm going to let you go first. Who's your favorite male superstar?
My favorite 2019 male superstar will have to be, I'm going to say, the Cowboy James Storm.
Whoa, I love that. Yeah.
I'll say the Cowboy James Storm. He will be, the man can cut a promo. He's got it in the ring. He knows what he's doing. If they'll just let him hold that NWA world title, but we shall see what happens in 2020. But yeah, James Storm for me, he was my favorite out of that.
Well, James, you know, we're recording this on the 29th of December. And earlier today, I don't know if you saw this or not, but social media was kind of blowing up about the Cowboy possibly wanting to go to NXT to maybe start.
Again?
Yeah, I mean, he just did that one match before. I think he'd be better off staying in the NWA myself.
He's more popular in the NWA than he would be in WWE, unless they want to get a hold of Bobby Roode if he can stay off the sauce or stay off whatever he's doing. And I just don't see that. I think he needs to stay where he's at, stay with the NWA.
I do think, though, if they could get beer money back together, that would be a great thing. But I agree with you. I think that the NWA would be a better spot for him. Now, we don't know what the money situation is. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, money talks and BS walks, but the problem I'm having with it, I like to know who is funding the NWA. To me, I'd like to know who's funding. It's not Billy Corgan. It can't be just him.
Oh, why not?
Well, I mean, he is a multimillionaire, but I mean, how much are these guys getting paid at the NWA? Come on now.
You know,
I love one of your albums one time, Billy Corgan, but I mean, gone in 60 seconds, that one song, I love every minute of it, but it can't be that popular.
So, well, I don't know. Yeah. He just announced another tour, and you know, that's where they make their real money, is when they go out on tour selling
more
merchandise.
And
yeah, hey, that's great. So,
more power to you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the WWE superstar that a lot of people might be a little surprised that I would say is my superstar of the year. I'm going to go with none other than Kofi Kingston, and I have two reasons for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Kofi Kingston, when won the title at WrestleMania, I thought the build-up to that was awesome. I thought it was absolutely one of the great storylines of the year. And then right in the middle of the year, he had that renewed feud with with Randy Orton that I thought they did a great job on that. Then with him, my least favorite Kofi Kingston moment was the first night of SmackDown Live on Fox Sport on Fox when he lost the title to Mr. Boring in the Bank in 9 seconds. I thought he deserved a lot better than that. I just didn't like that at all. I mean, that just bit me in the behind.
Well, Kofi is one of the greatest of all, not one of, but the one of the greatest of all times. But, you know, his rematch clause has never happened, and he's on the verge of talking about retiring.
Yeah,
very soon.
Yeah, but that was just, he just signed a 5-year contract. So I think they're saying that. I think they're jumping the gun a little bit when people start talking, oh, he's going to retire. Hey, after 5 years, everybody might want to retire, you know?
Well, if you get slapped in the chest by the Big Show and his palm print is still in your chest, I mean, you would too, wouldn't you?
I think I would. And then give Kofi another big congratulations because, once again, he and Big E are the tag team champions. And I know Zayn is a little bit tired of the New Day, and at times I do get tired of the New Day. But I don't think I've ever been tired of Kofi Kingston.
Kofi's good.
His storyline, the ups and downs of this past year, I thought was just one of my favorite things to watch. So my choice for the male superstar of the year, none other than Kofi Kingston of the New Day.
Yeah, well, he needs to get his Jamaican accent back for some reason. I still like that part where Triple H goes, "Weren't you Jamaican?
Weren't you Jamaican?" And you could you could almost see the blood rush out of his face, and you know, I mean, he might be African American, but boy, he turned red. It was great. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, that was perfect. I love that. That was good. So yeah, there's the. That's a really good pick. I like that pick.
Okay.
I like that. That's good.
Let's move on once again with our year-end review on Turnbuckle Trash. And the next category we want to talk a little bit about is the female superstar of the year. Who do you pick, Chris?
Oh, that's going to be hard to do. Man, it's a toss-up between Tessa Blanchard and... who's the one from NWA, the one with half the skull, the paint?
Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a toss-up between those two. Let me think. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Thunder Rosa. Yeah, Thunder Rosa will do it.
She is fun to watch, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I'll take Thunder Rosa as the female of the year. Yes. Okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
And I'm going NWA for some reason.
I don't know why. And then Tessa Blanchard, you know, she's a free agent right now. I haven't heard of anything that she has signed a contract, and we'll talk more about her in just a little bit too.
Yep.
Either one of those would be a great pick. And I'm once again going back to the WWE. As much as I complain about the WWE, I'm going to pick Becky Lynch, the man, as the superstar, female superstar of the year. And a lot of that has to do with just something that wasn't supposed to happen, but it happened, and it really put her career over when Nia Jax busted her nose and her orbital bone and just put her out of action, and she became known as the man. And I mean, they went all over that with the press. The PR department went crazy with it with the WWE. I think at the end of the year, they kind of lost that momentum with Becky Lynch. I hope they can pick it up again because Becky Lynch is a great performer, not only in the ring, but her promo work has just gotten really, really good. And I'm glad of one thing. Mm-hmm. They dropped the storyline with her and Seth being tight. I mean, they might be tight, boyfriend, girlfriend, but it didn't work as a storyline.
No, it didn't. The storyline dropped as soon as Seth was on the gurney and she was holding his hand, and then all of a sudden it just went away. I mean, WWE's got two problems right now. One, they can't keep up a storyline, and two, they don't know what a storyline truly is.
You know, I will agree. I think you made a good point. It's because they will just drop a storyline instead of making it come to an end. They could have done one more little match to make it end some way to where it was over with, you know?
They could
find a way when they're doing a storyline that they don't like to add 1 week to that storyline, let it end, and let something else begin. If it's just as something as simple as, you know, with that Charlotte Flair coming in and kissing Seth on the mouth and beating up on Becky, and then, you know, they go at it after that. And that could end the Seth and Becky Lynch storyline and start another feud. That's as simple as it gets. Just end the storyline instead of just dropping it. I agree with you, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with the WWE right now. They don't know how to end a storyline. They don't know how to begin a storyline. All they're worrying about is, hey, let's get this guy divorced from his wife, and then he can go over to this husband. No, it's getting boring. It's getting dull, and I'm regurgitating everything, and I'm going up to the same corner and expecting a different result. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No.
The marriage between Lana and Bobby Lashley is quite possibly the least expected thing for the year. I don't know if you saw SmackDown on Friday night, SmackDown Live. Elias opens the show, and he's in the ring, and he's singing a song, and he said how glad he was to be on SmackDown because this show didn't have a wedding between Bobby Lashley and Lana, and the crowd loved it. It was great.
Well, I'm glad he sang that song because I'm getting tired of seeing the same angle over and over and over again. So no, I'm sorry. I don't know what Paul Heyman is thinking. I don't know what his thinking is right now. But he needs to, you know, he needs to get rid of this marriage bull crap. Get it out of here.
We don't want to see it.
I think
it's more Vince pushing this on Paul.
More Vince.
I think so.
I could believe that. Yeah. I could believe that. Yeah, I could believe
I think
that.
So, let's go to one of my favorite subjects in professional wrestling. I love tag team wrestling. I've said it many times. I am a fan of tag team wrestling. So, Chris, I ask you, I know you're pretty much a fan of tag team wrestling. Mm-hmm. Who would you say the top tag team of 2019, in your eyes, is going to be?
Wow. I feel like the Grinch has stole Christmas. Jim Carrey that's it. I'm not going. I don't know. Oh man, that's okay. The revival.
Good choice.
I'll pick the Revival.
Even though they had an uneven year when they were using them with the New Day and that backstory with them shaving the back. I didn't like that end, but they are so much fun to watch. I love that old tag team feel that they have. So
it reminds me of Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson. I mean, those two were a powerhouse. These guys are just like them. And I picked the Revival. I wish they would do something else besides make them into a joke.
Scott Dawson even tweeted out that he felt like they were a little bit lost because Randy Orton had been taken over to Raw, and they were running up a really good storyline between the three of them. Now they're separated, so
it is what it is. What can you do? Like I said, WWE can't keep a storyline together, and they can't keep a storyline. They don't know how to end it. They don't know how to start it. So who's yours?
I'm gonna kind of have to go male female here. Okay. I'm gonna have to go with two. I couldn't decide which one I thought was the most important, but I will take tag team male version. SoCal Uncensored with the All Elite Wrestling. They are their champions right now. I've been such a fan of Frankie Kazarian over the years and Christopher Daniels, and then started seeing Scorpio in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a couple of years ago. I said, man, this guy is good. And they all get together. They start off with some stuff with, I think they went to Championship Wrestling Hollywood, then they show up at ROH, and now they're with the guys at All Elite. A great tag team. All three of them can cut great promos. All three of them are great performers in the ring. And and I'll say this, and I'll explain a little bit later on. The best storyline going right now in All Elite Wrestling has to do with SoCal Uncensored. They actually have a storyline. More on that coming up, okay?
Okay.
All right. Then my other choice that I had to go in might surprise some people. But I cannot tell you how much I enjoy watching the Kabuki Warriors.
I knew it.
I love that tag team. They are so much fun to watch in the ring. I love it.
Well, if you get a hold of both of them, they're both gorgeous ladies, mm-hmm. and they're both knockouts. I mean, not TNAs, uh-huh. but they're knockouts right there. But I tell you what, I'm glad that they still have the women's tag team titles. They love to spray that mist, and it reminds me of old school. But yeah, I'll agree with you. The Kabuki Warriors for the tag team on the ladies. Yeah, that's perfect.
And there's
absolutely perfect.
Yeah, there's another reason why I put that, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we talk about somebody being buried. You know, a person comes up from the NXT, and they're mm-hmm. just buried. And this is what happened to the Kabuki Warriors. When they were put together, Paige was supposedly going to be their manager, bring them to the mm-hmm. ring, because these two ladies are of Japanese descent, and they can't speak English very well. And no problem with that. I don't care. Paige was going to be their mouthpiece, and then Paige goes off and injures her neck and needs to be off for another little while. And then the Kabuki Warriors just kind of went nowhere. And then all of a sudden they get another push, mm-hmm. but as heels this time, and they turn on Paige and spray the mist in her face, and I loved it. I thought the storyline was great, and I think it shows with a little creativity and a little thought process, you can take a great talent like Asuka and I can't remember her name right now, but like the Kabuki Warriors, even though they've been buried in a way, you can bring them back and make a really good storyline, and I'm hoping that they'll do something like that with Ethan Carter III. He's buried so bad, I would love to see him come back, you know, just doing something.
We'll never see Ethan Carter ever again, probably, because he's probably in the back selling hot dogs and pretzels to kids. I just don't get it. This man could have held the Intercontinental title. This man could have held the United States Championship, a tag team championship. But if you bring him in from TNA, and what do? You throw him down the gully just like a gutter ball in bowling. Come on, guys. Do something with this man. He deserves it.
I totally agree, man. I do. Yeah.
Yep. It's bad.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about, I want to tell everyone that we'll be having more with Zane Peterson in just a little bit. But I thought as the segments go, and I forgot to tell everyone that we're going to have in between our main segments, we're going to have some of the bloopers and some of the weird things that we did throughout the year. I've been saving them all the time. It's going to be great.
Believe me, folks, when you hear these, you will probably be laughing hysterically, or you'll be going, out in the world.
Yeah.
So,
what are these guys on, huh?
Yeah. I'm on that real good stuff. It's called Smarty.
Yeah. Well, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to get your opinion, mine and Zane's also, about the stuff that happened around the end of the summer, all the way leading up to October, the mainstream coverage of professional wrestling as we went into October, I thought was probably the storyline of the decade, to be honest with you. I loved it, man, because now professional wrestling, once again, is in the mainstream. You have coverage from CBS, SI, ESPN, Bleacher Report, local TV coverage, and more. And podcasts about professional wrestling are one of the most popular podcasts, if not the popular podcast, in the world.
Well, you've got these. I call the expert. Now, ESPN, I don't call you an expert in professional wrestling. I've never heard that. I'm sorry. I'd love to see Stephen A. Smith get on First Take and talk about it. He loves Ric Flair, but, you know, ESPN, that's great, and all these other sports. But my problem is this. We got all these podcasts and these so-called experts. But we've all had our battles through the year with these people. We don't want to regurgitate old things. But, guys, nobody is an expert. We don't know what the WWE TNA, AEW, we don't know what they're going to do from day to day.
No.
But you know what? It has exploded. Uh-huh. with the NWA and AEW, when those two hit the mainstream, I mean, it was like it caught on wildfire.
Uh-huh.
That's all you ever heard about. Everybody was so into this now. But back, what was it, in 2010, they didn't really care about that. They didn't care about professional wrestling. They hated it. But now it's caught fire again. So yeah, I'm very excited for 2020 vision, and see how this works, and see where these companies go, and let's see where these podcasts go.
Yeah,
I mean, I passed out so many cards yesterday for the podcast. It was absolutely pathetic, and people thought I was running for office or something. They said, "Are you going to?" I was shaking hands. I wasn't kissing babies, but no.
Were you kissing babes? That's the best part.
Well, if I do that, I'm going to be in trouble. But that's okay.
I also thought the most important thing. I mean, we talked about how the WWE, they took to Fox with Friday Night SmackDown. Then you had All Elite, and then when they come in on Wednesday, and then you had the WWE countering that by putting programming on to the USA Network with NXT, and that wasn't the exciting part for me. I loved that part. The exciting part to me was that forced Impact Wrestling to make a move where they purchased Access TV, or at least a controlling interest, put Impact Wrestling on Access TV, which had more subscribers. New Japan was still on there. GLOW was still on there. So that gave some you know, a good outlet for that. And then I think the story, as far as I'm talking about with this media coverage, was the absolute best thing that happened in the year to me was NWA Power. I was expecting nothing. I didn't think it was going to be very good. And it's my favorite show to watch. I kid you not. I love NWA Power.
I would, you know, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I would rather watch NWA Power than all the other ones combined, because it's not 3 hours long and their promos don't take 15, 20 to 30 minutes, except for Eli Drake. Oh, Lord.
That drunken promo he did for Christmas time where he was supposedly drunk, it was so good.
I was laughing so hard because I was like, I've been in that situation. You want a swig? You want a swig? But I love it. He goes, I'm working. Well, so am I. He just keeps going.
Then he said, down to my shoes, and he said it twice. You know, did I say it twice? You know, it was great. Great stuff.
But he was playing the drunk man real good. But the only part that I really didn't like is when they were starting to sing Oh Holy Night or whatever it was, and then he put it in his – I'm surprised he didn't get no backlash off of that when he said Eli Drake.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute, that's here we go again. Eli, you're about to be unemployed.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought good. It was, to me, I was expecting very little from NWA Power. I really was.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I've always liked Nick Aldis. Tim Storm I've always liked. But the first time I watched NWA Power, and I think the reason I really liked it at first was because of the commentary of James Cornette. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Yep.
But it was a surprise to me how good it was. And
yes, it was.
Yeah. So the mainstream media, the explosion of podcast, and people just generally talking about professional wrestling, I think was probably to me the story of the year. And I thought it was great.
Thanks to everybody from NWA Power to All Elite Pro Wrestling, New Japan. The only people we probably left out was Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor, man, they're just.
We're gonna talk about that in just a few more minutes. Before I want to end this segment with the overall superstar, male, female of the year. Who would you put as the superstar of the year?
That's tough. Well, I tell you what, I'll go with Nick Aldis.
Nick Aldis. You're an NWA guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll go with Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Ric Flair. He has the belt. He's wearing the clothes. He's got everything. And I'll go with Nick Aldis.
That
being the superstar of the year.
Good choice. You know what? There's never a bad choice when you get your opinion and you say, you know, this is why I enjoy this performer. I wouldn't even put Nick Aldis in my top 10, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But you think he's the best of the year. So I respect that. You know, Simsalabim, that's fantastic. My superstar of the year is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Not just because of in-ring work, because, and this is my reasoning, all the work he had to do besides keeping up his wrestling career so he could make some money, and all that while putting together All Elite Wrestling, negotiations with TNT, making sure that the ownership group, Tony Khan and the other investors, were all happy, putting together a roster, making sure the front office is going to run properly. And then also at the same time, he's performing. It had to be a 24-hour-a-day job. And
well, he's got the work ethic like his daddy did.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but yeah, I'll agree with you, Cody. Yeah. The American Nightmare. Yeah,
the
Cody
American Nightmare. Cool. What a year that was. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back talking more about looking back at the year 2019. But up next, segment one of a segment we call Butt Fumbles, right?
Yeah.
That's where we either mess up or we say something completely off the wall. It's pretty funny stuff. We'll do this throughout the podcast. It's time for Butt Fumbles on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
And now on this night, 2000, excuse me, dang. I'm feeling like it's just going to be like you again.
The comments that you heard in the program coming up are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
It was the gym that really turned into a cow pie.
Look at the chest of Brian. It's like ground meat, like hamburger. Daniel Bryan would be humiliated to know his chest of like processed meat.
I love
Marlon
that.
Brando?
Yeah,
this is over, man. We can't be friends.
Well, this is going to hurt.
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
A lot of rocks rattling around in that tin can of yours, you call a brain.
But now he is so low, even John Cena can't see him.
Keep telling yourself that.
I was like, that is a devoted wrestling fan.
You the man, ma'am.
I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. You're a hypocrite. Step to the side. Thank you.
I took a nap.
And then when Lashley comes in, they should have had Lashley against Brock Lesnar. But that didn't happen because they had Bobby going, I love you. My sisters, they're so wonderful.
That was really stupid, too.
Back in the day when men were men and sheep were scared.
I just ate my lunch and I'm about to lose it.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Is this boy excited?
Nitro, Monday Nitro came to Salt Lake. Anyways, I was the first guy to get thrown out of that building, man. I think Booker T.
And my wife's like, yes, my husband really likes wrestling.
Let's say it together. Slap nuts. If, and I'll emphasize the word if, I might be brilliant.
Wait, am I allowed to have that these days?
Not on Facebook.
Somebody might get offended and quit carrying our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, we'll leave that one alone for now.
Big, hairy deal.
So if it's a kitchen and a studio, would it be a cudio or a stitchin'?
All right, man. Coming in 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Well, you know, the WWE always does two things for me. Number one, gives me heartburn, and number two, gives me a migraine headache.
But
hey, if it was easy, brother, everybody'd look like this.
Of all the things.
That's what we geek about and stuff.
And the crowd was just kind of going.
Basically.
Where's the concessions? I need a foam finger there.
I'm really confused, though, okay?
Everything you'd ever want to know in the world of professional wrestling has been in this very podcast.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
You could have heard a lung collapse.
I said, you're here with Dad and I. You can get anything you want.
Absolutely.
Women age like fine wine. She's aging like milk.
You can hear someone pass a kidney stone. I mean,
he called in on a touchstone telephone. He is none other than Zane Peterson. Zane, you called the boss radio station, the boss jock with the boss sound that my boss wanted to play right here on the Nifty 850 WINO, Wonderful Wino Radio.
Wonderful Wino.
Thank you, George Carlin. That's an old Carlin routine. Wonderful Wino. More hits more often.
I don't know why. Every time you do that, every time you do your...
Just going to leave it out there. Kaboom, ba-boom. Yeah, so...
Even a Boy Scout probably couldn't put him back together again if they tried.
So, has there been any change?
Nope.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I am not a fan of hip-hop music. I am not a fan of hip-hop music. I'll just say that right off.
So, Dave, are you a fan of hip-hop music?
Heck no.
This is our show, so I'll say whatever the heck I want, right?
You're right.
You can make 3 sandwiches and have a shower by the time they get to the ring.
Oh, thanks, man. Did I do okay? And, you know, and I was like...
Inside the elimination chamber, say that 3 times fast.
Garbage.
And then your champion is Brock Lesnar.
Boring.
And I'm a 61-year-old man in a stitchin that collects toys.
I'm freaking mad is what I am.
I am a debunker, baby.
Jerk.
It's like having that new car smell. It's there for a minute, and then as soon as you get in, it's gone.
The constipated Baron Corbin. I mean, the constable Baron Corbin.
But he seems to post a lot on
there.
Yeah,
Lot Adams. Yeah. I've seen him posting a lot.
How
you doing, Lot?
Lot.
We
Thanks
like
for
you
listening.
A lot.
I see what you did there. Boom.
I have a lot of talent there myself.
We talk a lot about wrestling on the show, don't we?
Yes, we do talk a lot about that, Lot. So anytime you want to be on a part of our show, beg. And give a lot of money to me. We don't call it bribery. Yeah. We call it creative financing.
Yes. So.
Well, thanks for being here and being all in.
The time I was wrestling with Wrestling Alliance of the Rockies.
Some time permitted for recording your message. If you are
we just left a long message.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Some folks gonna be wondering who's talking to him.
Yeah, we've got a couple of different things going on here. We got merge calls every which way. So
reach the maximum time permitted for recording your message.
Are we recording this or are we live?
No, we're recording this. I love it though.
Oh, my hell.
You big duty head.
Then they'll have Shane come out and let him do Here Comes the Money Dance.
So
get you a bib and a bottle and have someone rock you to sleep.
Wow, that was really good.
Give me a break. Don't like it. I am saying that these people, because they are basing it on ignorance, then they are basically ignorant.
Sorry.
Smacking that asparagus, baby.
Smacking the asparagus together. Here we go.
You're a young buck, Zane Peterson.
So darn. Go ahead. It's the vegan club.
So, a stinking pile of dog manure. Excuse me, I'm about to cry here. It's funny. Oh. But I love my sisters. Zane, you there with us yet? Zane?
I'm here.
Okay, now, can everybody hear everybody?
It's so stupid.
Over and 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 over again.
Good old Clive, huh?
Yeah, old Clive, yeah.
I know Clive. He's my band. He owes me money.
Does he really?
It's like having a double hernia.
So, crap, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, come on. I had a good question I was going to ask you. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Back on subject.
So if it happens, I'm going to pat myself on the back with a 2x4. There we go.
Was he born in communist China or what?
You know what they say about a man with big feet.
It's not true.
Oh, you don't wear big shoes?
I got big shoes and big hands.
Not the kinky kind.
Okay. Thank you very much on that one.
It looked like the Undertaker didn't have his dentures in one of the pictures when he's trying to throw Shawn Michaels into the guardrail.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that's going to impact wrestling. Ha 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 ha. So.
Thanks, studio.
Yes.
Is that
kitchen?
You're ruining the professionalism of the podcast.
It's a professional kitchen.
I got the look for that one. And she says, seriously.
This is a family podcast. Please keep it PG, PG-13. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, sir. Not a problem.
Nobody wants to see me on the radio like this. Yeah. It's not you. It's just, it makes me laugh, though.
Do you think that vegans, like, when they mow their lawn, you think that's the same feeling they get?
I just hit one of them natural onions and it smells good. From the outskirts of London, it's John Moxley.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Why,
you sound horrible. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love not even being on TV and not even being a relevant tag team. We are the world.
We are the children.
The human jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
By the way, I am too hot to handle, too cold to hold. I am too fat to be where it's at. I might not be able to fold like a butterfly. I might not be able to sting like a bee. But I can hit you like Muhammad Ali.
That is good.
How can I follow
impressed.
That?
Yep.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
In segment two of Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk about the individual shows. Now, we can't watch every show that's on. We can't follow every promotion there. We're just talking probably the main ones that most people would know about, most people would care about. Now, we'll tell you right now, I know nothing about New Japan. I haven't been able to follow it. Chris, you followed it just a little bit, but not enough to really discuss it, right?
I haven't really had a chance to really look at New Japan for a while. The only thing that I know about New Japan is John Moxley going up for the U.S. title, the IWGP U.S. title, and that's basically it. But other than that, I haven't kept up with New Japan at all.
Okay,
and
so
I used to be a big fan of New Japan. So.
Yeah, you are a big fan of that. So you have to follow that on YouTube, and we just, you know, we have lives. So
yeah, we do.
Let's talk about some of the bigger promotions. Let's go to the WWE, and we'll talk about their three main shows here. Let's talk about grading for Raw. Where would you put a grade for Monday Night Raw?
I'll give them a D.
A D?
Yeah, I'll give them a D.
Tell me why.
Well, the way they've been doing things on Raw, the storylines haven't made any sense. They've been downgrading the wrestlers. They've been downgrading the professional wrestlers that they have. The storylines make no sense. And I'm just getting tired of 3 hours of my life that I'll never get back.
You know what? I'm going to give Raw, Monday Night Raw, I'm also going to give them a D.
Okay.
Because, and basically you said it all. Their storylines have not been very good. You've had quite a few injuries, and they drop storylines for no apparent reason, and then they go with storylines that people just don't, I mean, if you watch social media, they just don't care about. Lashley, Lana marriage thing with Rusev. And let me tell you, I think Rusev is great. I love watching Rusev perform.
I think Russo's a good sport.
Yeah. Yeah, because his real-life wife is sitting there making out with Bobby Lashley, and they must have something worked out with that. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But
I would tell Lashley, you know what? You can go to the South Pole. No, you can go down to the leg, but that's it. If you go any farther, I'm going to snap your neck. But I'll just go from there. We'll just do that. What do you think else? Go right ahead, please.
Well, I think that three-hour format is just something that they've struggled with since the beginning. I know that it has to do with money and, advertising and everything. But the three-hour format, to me, has just never worked. I put in some notes here. I said, I still record Monday Night Raw because it comes on here in the West, at least in my part of the West. It doesn't come on until 9 p.m. at night. Now, I go to work at 4:30 to 5 o'clock every morning, and I cannot watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw live or that night. So I watch it the next day or the day after, and I find myself watching it in segments. Or, boy, is that fast forward getting the workout. They open up with a 15 to 20-minute promo, and most of the time makes no sense. And then it just struggles to find a rhythm. Occasionally something good will happen, but overall I give it a D to D minus. I mean, it's not good at all.
No, it's not good. I mean, Paul Heyman taking it over was good for the business for them to do that, but now his hands are tied because nothing can – you can't have a thought. Jim Cornette said it this way, but I don't know if it's not going to be really proper on this show, but he called it something else. You're just fooling yourself. But see, that's the problem. The problem is Vince. That's the biggest problem. Vince won't let go of the reins.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, let's move on in the WWE spectrum of things. Let's go to Friday Night SmackDown. What kind of grade would you give that?
C plus.
Better than C Raw. Plus.
Better than Raw. Storylines are good. A little bit more action in the ring with The Fiend is doing very well. Now that they have a split personality, he'll either wrestle as Bray Wyatt or he'll wrestle as The Fiend. I think it really makes – and the storyline between him and Daniel is getting really good. I like it. The tag team division. But the only thing that I say is, look, Braun Strowman – You've got these hands, but you don't have these hips to dance. Please don't ever do that again.
I loved that segment, though.
It was good.
That segment with Braun Strowman. And I thought he danced very well. Now, I wouldn't put him on, what was that dancing show on ABC about Dancing with
the Stars? Dance Revolution. Dancing with the Stars.
No. I've never seen it, so that's why I had trouble. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch American Idol. I don't watch that kind of show. That's not my kind of thing. So.
No, if I want to see someone screech on a mic, I'll go listen to Guns N' Roses, and I'll have a good time.
Now, remember, Guns N' Roses at the Riverport Riot in St. Louis.
Oh, you saw them in their prime.
Yeah, I saw it when the riot happened. I was right there, not really close, but I was there, and it took us 3 hours to get out of the parking lot, I'll tell you that. So, yeah.
Lucky no one really got seriously hurt that night,
too. So yeah. I'm going to give Friday Night SmackDown a B+.
Oh, cool. That's
really like SmackDown. I mean, I'm so close to giving it in an A. I mean, that's how close it is. But I love the women's division, Bliss and Nikki Cross, a great tag teams with the New Day. And I'm sure that, I'm going to get some flack from Zayn about the New Day. But also, I love the Revival. I think Nakamura and Cesaro make a good tag team. And then Heavy Machinery. I got to admit, I enjoy watching Otis and the guys out there with Heavy Machinery. So I love the tag team division.
Who do you think really carries that team?
Otis.
Who carries it? Otis? I was about to say the same thing.
Every once in a while, a performer comes around and just connects with the audience. And that's what Otis has done. Whether it's that caterpillar move or whether it's that kind of goofy character that he does. But you got to admit, the crowd loves Otis.
Oh, they do. They love that man.
He's and I think he's got a big future because of his connection with his audience. And yeah, I really enjoy watching the stuff that's going on. The Miz with Daniel Bryan this past Friday night was good. The stuff with Kofi Kingston early in the year, we talked about that. The Randy Orton feud. The only thing I didn't like, once again, the 9-second win by Mr. Boring in the Bank, Brock Lesnar. I just give me a break. And I didn't like that at all. And I'm going to add one more thing that I didn't like about Brock Lesnar. And I know there's Brock Lesnar fans out there. That's fine. I think they write his character completely wrong. I hated Money in the Bank when he won Money in the Bank. I literally wanted to – I almost just stopped watching. I mean
– Do you think that they were just making this because they didn't – the ratings were so down for Money in the Bank? You think that this was just like a – the was supposed to be the biggest surprise of all time and it was the biggest letdown of all time?
It was stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's fans out there that are saying, oh, Brock is awesome. No, Brock is good. He's a good wrestler. They don't let him perform. They have him doing three moves. He's better than that. They could still use Paul Heyman. But to do the situation with Money in the Bank and then have him beat Kofi Kingston in 9 seconds, I will never – ever understand why they booked it that way, and that's just me.
Well, I can understand your views on that, and I don't blame you one bit. I didn't like it either when Kofi lost the belt in 9 seconds. I thought that was a slap in the face to everybody. So,
yeah,
I hated it.
Yeah. Well, let's move on inside the WWE with NXT. What kind of grade would you give NXT?
A+.
Good.
A+.
Back it up, my brother.
A+ for two reasons. Number one, great talent. Number two, great storylines. And I'll give it a number three, great action in the ring. And they say it to the – and like you said one time, top this. Their pay-per-views are phenomenal. The talent that they have is some of the best I've seen. And they basically are telling all the top talent of the WWE in SmackDown and Raw, this is what you have to contend with now, because I don't think nobody from NXT wants to go to the main roster anymore. They just want to stay right where they're at.
Well, you know, Johnny Gargano has said that. I think Tommaso Ciampa is saying he doesn't want to go to the main roster either.
Well, I've heard that from Triple H, he's not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
He's not going anywhere because Tommaso Ciampa is going to become a producer with NXT, and he's going to be – he's the leader of the locker room from what I understand, from what Triple H has said, that his time in the ring is about to come up. I mean, he's got all these injuries, and now he's going to take over, you know, as a producer, a director. That's what he wants to do now. So more power to the man. I hope he does.
I do too. And then they've got the best announcer in the business, Murano. He's there.
Oh my gosh.
He's great, isn't he?
Yes. Especially when he did that for Christmas. Oh, the Nutcracker.
Yeah. I
loved it.
And then, you know, the Mamma Mia, and you actually hear the crowd chanting Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
That's the announcer who started a catchphrase. That's good.
That's good when an announcer loved by the audience, like good old JR and Jerry the King Lawler, but there were some good things about him, and there's some bad things, but we all have them every now and then.
Yeah,
so.
And I think they have a great women's division also there.
Yep.
They have a brand new champion, but boy, it just seems like every one of the women are just as good as anything on the main roster, if not better than most of them. So,
I've noticed that the WWE's women's roster, like you said and like Zane said, they're better. The women's roster on the WWE is better than AEWs or Ring of Honor or TNA or whatever it is now. But NWA is just right up there with them. But I think WWE will always have the dominant women's division no matter what.
I think that's pretty good stuff there. So I don't watch NXT UK enough, but I tell you what, Walter, just say that, Walter, yeah. NXT UK, Walter, good stuff. Walter, so
that man is a powerhouse.
Yeah, he is. He's good. Yeah, he's got his little faction he's going with right now. They're mm-hmm. getting ready for Worlds Collide between NXT and NXT UK. I can't wait for that pay-per-view coming up in January. Love it.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be excellent. That's going to be a pay-per-view. Everyone, please, if you have the WWE Network, you need to watch this. They're going to tear the house down. I'm going to love it.
It's going to be fantastic. So
yes.
Let's move on one more time. Well, let's talk about the people that just started up this year in October. All Elite Wrestling. What kind of grade would you give them?
B minus.
Okay.
B minus. I will be very nice to All Elite because you're still newborns. I'll be nice to them. They are still learning and they're still trying to get the product together. Some of it's good storytelling. Some of it you scratch your head and you wonder how are they getting away with this. And you're scratching your head again when you bring your father in as a package and he doesn't know where he's in, if he's in Chicago or New York. I
think that was storyline. I really do think that part was storyline.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But no, everybody, I think AEW's got, it's a B plus, B minus, B plus. I like it. It's good. But that first time I got to really watch them, and I see the Bunny and the Blade and the Butcher come up from the ring, I just had to shake my head. It's like, oh my God, no.
Uh-huh.
But everyone has their baptisms in life, and this is it. Will AEW fail? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Give them another year. Give them a year or two.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long-term project for them, unless yep. Mr. Khan decides that he doesn't want to bleed money. And I don't know what the financial situation is by any means, but me
there's an or, all right, and it's an or of manhood. It's called Vince Russo. Vince Russo has offered free advice to Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes. I got your advice, Mr. Russo. Go away.
Okay. You don't like Vince Russo at all, do you?
Well, no, I really don't like Vince Russo, and I will be very respectful to everybody on the Turnbuckle Trash page. And I got into a debate with Manny Lemons. I think that's what his name is.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I got into a debate with him on the Facebook page, and I told him, I said, sir, I respect your views, but I've seen this man. I've seen what he's done, and I don't respect him, and I never will. And I hope that he slides under a gas truck and tastes his own blood. Thank you. And click. That was it.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say I had a personal conversation with one of the wrestlers in Devotion Championship Wrestling because mm-hmm. Vince was there recently, and he had a completely different view of Vince, and it opened my eyes a little bit. I told you about it a little bit, but I'm not mm-hmm. going to say who it was because it was off the record. So,
well, I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, everyone has their opinion, and Vince Russo is the antichrist of professional wrestling. If he was drowning, I would give him a glass of water just to help him out. So that's my view on Vince Russo. Thanks, guys.
Or about a bucket of water. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you something. Go right ahead, please.
So All Elite mm-hmm. Wrestling, I'm mm-hmm. going to give it a C- because it's so uneven right now. Now, that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that I don't watch it because I watch it every week. Some of the storylines, I am absolutely loving the promo work Chris Jericho is doing with the Inner Circle. Love it. Love it. Some of the best stuff I've heard in years. That's the top of the line for me. The women's division, although over the last 3 or 4 weeks it has improved with some new talent coming in, overall the women's division to me has been weak, and that has really hurt the product as far as me, a wrestling fan, talking mm-hmm. about All Elite. I love MJF. I love the heel turn. He needed to be a heel from the moment go, but the way they built him up as a friend with Cody and then the turning his back on him, love MJF, I think, is probably the best heel in the business. So a little uneven for All Elite, so I'm going to give mm-hmm. it a C to C minus. But I think they don't have a lot to do to make this a great show. I think just a couple of tweaks, and it's going to be a great show.
It will. They just have to give it time. Everybody wants to rush it, and they're thinking that All Elite is going to be the granddaddy of all. No, give them a little bit. Let's see if they don't stub their toe like before, and we'll see what goes on. So,
okay. That's why we talk about All Elite. So let's move on because we got a couple more to talk about. One, I know what you're going to say on this one. NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance.
I'm going to be biased on this one too, so I'll say I'll give it a B. I'll give it a B.
A B? I thought you would be a lot higher than that.
For two reasons. Some of the wrestlers that they have on there is good, but my favorite of all time is the question mark. I'll always like the question mark. The storylines are good. They've just done some things over the past couple of months that have really, ticked me off. But it is what it is. But I will give NWA Power a B, and I'll just keep it at that, a B.
Okay.
Be nice to everybody. Go ahead. Yep.
Be nice to everybody. Me, I'm going higher than that. I'm giving it an A, almost an A+.
There you go.
And the reason I say it's the one-hour format, a great decision to go with just the 1 hour. Nick Aldis is the champ, does a great job. The forming of the faction at the end of the year I thought was great. I love the tag team of the wild card. I'm not real wild about the Rock and Roll Express being the champions. Ricky, I don't have anything against it. I just don't.
I really think that was just to say thank you for the years of NWA.
It could be.
Yeah.
But women's division, top notch, I think is as good as NXT's. And a lot better than All Elite's. And even with the Cornette misstep with what happened, I thought they did, to be honest with you, I thought they did Jim Cornette wrong what happened with his joke that was taken out of context.
Yeah.
And I think people just, I just don't think they handled it right. But with Stu Bennett coming in, I thought he did a great job. And so I didn't see a drop in the product. I didn't see a drop in the storylines. The only drop I saw was in the comedy of the commentary. And you don't need comedy and commentary every time. So I'm going with an A, really close to an A+ for NWA Power.
That's excellent. I mean, I'll agree with you on that. But like I said, I'm going to be biased. And they just did some things that I really didn't care for. But it is what it is.
Now we're getting into an area that might be a little bit hard to grade. And one of those is Impact Wrestling. Now, I'm not going to give it a grade at all, and I'll tell you why. I just don't know a lot about it. I followed it a little bit. I think Sami Callihan is a great talent. I didn't like the intergender matches that he had with Tessa Blanchard. OVE, what the heck is OVE? Ohio versus everything. I'm scared to death of Ohio. Oh, man, Ohio scared me to death. It just doesn't do anything for me. The tag team itself, they're fun with Sami Callihan being there too. Tessa Blanchard, one of the great talents in the women's division, no longer under contract, could be a major star. I'd love to see her go to All Elite to reunite with her dad, Tully. I would just love that. Love it.
Well, can we give him a Z?
Yeah, let's give him a Z. Oh, go ahead. Okay.
Can we give him a Z?
Okay.
Impact is going down faster than the Titanic did. The intergender matches, I don't like them, never have. We've already been through that on the podcast before. I don't care for Impact. I don't even watch Impact. I didn't even know Impact was still on until I saw it on, Facebook.
Uh-huh.
But Sami Callihan, yes, you deserve the world title. You put your due diligence in. But all I can say to you is, no, I'm not going to watch Impact, and I give you a Z.
A Z.
For Zorro. Yeah, a Z for Zorro.
I love that. A Z. And then my final one we'll talk about, unless you guys want to talk about something else, is Ring of Honor. Let's talk about Ring of Honor. I'm going to go to you first and let you talk about ROH Wrestling.
What has happened to Ring of Honor?
Ooh.
Ring of Honor has turned into this smash mouth. they've turned into this smash mouth wrestling organization to I don't know what it is anymore. I'm confused, but I really don't see Ring of Honor being in business much longer. I see them getting sold to another organization, and I think it'll probably be AEW if they're smart. But where has the talent gone? I mean, Ring of Honor's talent has just, it's all disappeared. They're either going to NWA or they're going to AEW. I mean, it's bad. It is just, I don't know. You tell me, what do you think? What do you think?
I thought they started off strong. I really did. Because they did lose a lot of talent at the beginning of this calendar year that we're in right now. And then they brought in a bunch of younger wrestlers and called them, let me see if I got it down here, Lifeblood, if you remember Lifeblood. They brought them in, and that completely fizzled, not because the Lifeblood wasn't getting heat as a good faction, but something was going on behind the scenes, and a couple, Tamil, you know, the former Emma, she left for some reason. And then they had another they had another performer left. He went back to Mexico. They did keep Roosh, who was their champion up until just a couple of weeks ago. They brought in Villain Enterprises, I thought was a great idea, but that has fallen apart now. Their TV show has diminished from 1 hour of wrestling to a 1 hour, just basically a commercial for their streaming service. And I think that was a mistake. Keep your, you know, keep your streaming service for your pay-per-views, but sell that pay-per-view and that streaming service by having good, solid wrestling on, which they'll show a bit, you know, 5 minutes of a match, and they say, if you want to see the whole thing, go to Honor Club. Well, they showed the ending of the match. Why do I want to go back and watch 10 minutes of nothing when I can watch 5 minutes and get what actually happened in the match and who won? Bad business decision. So I'm going to give ROH a D minus, almost an F, because at the beginning of the year, some good feuds were there with Bully Ray and the guys from the faction of Lifeblood. Bully Ray's not being used nearly good enough. Then they also have the Briscoes, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. They have Jay Lethal, who's now a heel. They just, they're struggling. I worry for Ring of Honor. I really am worried for them.
Well, I do believe that Ring of Honor is going to, like I said, they're gonna lose their TV deal. I mean, it's going to happen. The writing's on the wall. The only team that I really feel bad for is the Briscoe brothers. They're the ones that really started with Ring of Honor. They never left when they could have already gone to other organizations, but they always stayed with Ring of Honor. I don't really know what's going to happen. We all don't know, but what I really do know is Ring of Honor, you made the biggest mistake when you put the world title on a 56-year-old man. Or how old is he?
He's in his 50s. I know that. PCO, the French-Canadian Frankenstein.
Yeah. You made the biggest mistake when you put that belt around that man's waist. So
and then
I would have put it back on one of the Briscoes.
Yeah, you had him against Roosh. And Roosh is a huge star in Mexico. And I think one of the bright talents out there. I'm going to enjoy watching Roosh's career because from the moment I saw him, man, I really liked what he was doing in the ring. But yeah, I agree. I think they're struggling right now, man.
They are. They're struggling big time, and I feel bad for the Ring of Honor, but there is nothing you can do right now. A lot of AAA events and everything, these outlaw mud shows are doing better than Ring of Honor sometimes, so it is what it is.
Okay, well, that wraps up this segment right now, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the performers, maybe some of the tag teams, that we feel probably need to get a little bit more of a push in 2020. Who are those teams? Who are these performers that deserve a little bit better recognition? We'll come back and talk about that after another butt fumble segment on Turnbuckle Trash.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash.
And I need some psychotherapy.
I was just walking around, walking to the bathroom, and Chavo Guerrero is right next to me.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever.
Yay. I'm talking about heel Miz, not face Miz. Face Miz sucks.
Well, when I was back in the day.
The constipated Baron Corbin. I have a boombox. I can dance in the ring. I'm cool.
With Gentleman Jervis and this Orange Julius dude.
It just doesn't feel special.
You know, he is the one-man human sweat gland.
Man, he knows how to get under people's skin.
Preach on, brother. Preach on.
You know, we're the best tag team ever.
Orange Cassidy's the laziest wrestler in the industry right now.
He's also the stupidest wrestler in the industry right now.
It ain't Chris on the mat right now. It's Zane O'Mac on the mat.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. Oh, this is extreme. No, it's not.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
I don't even know where to start.
I'm going to watch wrestling.
Dave?
Tell us how you really feel about Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Awesome. Maybe he can grow on you like toe fungus. Your head out of your prostate.
Yeah, it's not happening. I like it.
The FBI is going to show up to my house, and it got a little spooky from there.
And you shake your head and you wonder how these people reproduce.
No. Don't get started. Oh, no.
I knew it. You know what? A catfish has better rhythm than he does. I
mean, and went to the potty and make sure that they make wee wee.
It does make you want to pull out your last nose hair when you...
Be frankly, offends my intelligence. And I'm not that intelligent.
This, you know, like the Legion of Doom. But now it's gone to the Legion of Snooze.
I would not classify you as a big guy, Dave. I would classify you as athletically overweight.
That is cruel and unusual punishment.
Sorry. We messed it up. And we want your forgiveness.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but I can actually snort refrigerant and then fart snowballs.
I think I saw you do it one time.
Yeah, he's an attraction.
Whoa, don't get too far from PG, guys.
Yeah, baby, got it made in the shade, baby.
SummerSlam.
NXT is how I get my wrestling fix.
I'm a big old fat genie. That's right. I'm a big old fat genie. Yeah.
I'm going to look in the pig's nose to make this daggum shirt smell better.
And that's the fishing line. Cause Shark Boy said so.
Just get off there.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's.
It is the weapon of mass destruction.
I could talk to you about bacon for an hour, and
it was desecrated.
It was very desecrated, and the Great Watcher is here, and he was not happy.
That's what happens when you have a three burger with jalapenos and sauerkraut.
I'm definitely a member of the Tomb Stoniverse.
It's gonna be a surprise.
She means business. She tore my shirt off last show and chopped me right in the chest.
We have to go look for him.
He looks like a porno star rolled in pubic hair.
What a show.
Woo, that was some good stuff.
You're usually done for the day. You've been here since 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sticking around this afternoon.
I am the reason. Dave's DVR is working out, baby.
No offense, soccer fans. but this is more money.
Take offense, soccer fans. I'm not the king of a lemonade stand, but I am the king of the buffet line. I'll tell you that. So. I don't know how bushy my tail will be, but
3.9.
I'll bush it up.
Well, I hope they get boiled in oil and their fat sold for soap.
Yeah, the Mac Daddy is back.
Oh, you mean that guy?
No Comedy Chris.
Gosh, Zane, I'm hurt. I need a blanket in my juice box now.
No, we're gonna change your name to Dr. Dud.
Oh, let me get my bleeper out really quick. One of those two words for Chris. Please.
Chris can't. Well, but. Well, that's all I have to say about that.
That was well thought out. He weighs 3,000 butterflies.
88 pounds of halibut. Can you believe that? I got two words for him. Just kidding.
Beep!
It's not Joey Ryan's junk, so they don't have to take it so hard, you know?
Oh.
Was that too far?
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Zane Peterson pushes the envelope.
PG 13 and a half. That's the way we roll. Bring it right up to the edge and then stop.
You're SOL, Bubba.
Yeah, that's it. And the adjustment to his theme song, you know, I think I'm old. I think I'm broken. I drive the girls in the scene, you home wild. WWDD.
What would Dave do?
A lot of butt fumbles.
Dave, other news. Big time news.
Big time news?
Big time news.
It was supposed to be like Ravishing Rick Rude, but a hot dog hit him in the head.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of being like six on the playground. You know, being like, AEW rules, WWE drools.
Performance anxiety.
It's got to be something.
Yeah, it might be a little blue pill will help you out. I didn't say that.
Maybe a little bit of the bubbly.
Yeah. Hellfire, brimstone, and everything else unholy.
Crown jewel. It's going to be a diamond stuck up of cow pie.
I've never seen them do that before.
I think I've seen hammered crap that looks better than those guys.
I got a question for you. What does NXT, AEW, and rigor mortis have in common?
I hesitate to ask. So what does AEW, NXT have in common?
One thing in common, they're stiff within 2 hours.
I am the Mac Daddy of professional wrestling, so I got an image to uphold.
Sorry. I'm just picturing he's gonna hold up his reputation.
After that, you could have just turned it off. It would have been the same. It would have been the same feeling.
But he also needs his colostomy bag changed every now and then, too.
And, Chris, he also has something you don't have. A full set of teeth.
Hey, and a sense of humor.
After Becky and Sasha, I did turn it off.
Let's have buckets and buckets just smeared all over the ring. Let them dance in it.
Why is urine even relevant right now? Like,
ding, 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 and the match is over. I mean, what was that all about?
It's probably the oldest of the four of us here, the guy who knows nothing about technology, that got this figured out. Old guys rule, okay. Bubs.
I'm not sure what all happened there.
We call that in the business a cluster, if you get my drift. So, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes less is more.
Exactly. So,
how amazing is the Lana Bobby Lashley storyline? I'm eating ice cream, so I didn't hear you.
This is what's wrong with wrestling.
Somebody get some incense in here.
Somebody light a match. No, never mind. Don't, not now.
You guys are having a conversation over here. Who is this guy? Why did I marry this guy?
They're twittering.
Oh, crap. Brain fart.
It was a blind squirrel searching for a nut.
Into the fire!
Like, oh my god.
I'm calling!
That's my hour of relaxation right there with a whole bunch of guys in spandex beating each other to death.
That was funny, huh? Yeah.
Dave, where'd you come up with this? Where'd you come up with this, fella?
Okay, wait a minute. How many times did Utah Jazz lose to the Chicago Bulls in the NBA Finals?
How many times did Michael Jordan push off Brian Russell? Huh?
I was about to say the same thing.
Zero.
Oh.
Zero. Zero. It'll put some hair on your chest. I know that.
It gets into your bones.
But I'm starting to think just like all of these inbred, white trash, redneck kicks.
Damn. You're stealing my mojo.
Can't stand them old Germans on there. I wish Jared Lawler would just poke their eyes out.
Okay.
This is an example of three people who love the business so much that they can read each other.
What do you think of the new championship? It was blue. What's the difference?
I'm going to be completely politically incorrect. I'm an equal opportunity offender here, you know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so sick of the New Day, I could puke.
I took that table, and I went to working on him, and I'm jugging him. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him. The police.
And that's the bottom line, because Grandma Willie said so.
Because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
You have been kicked in the testicles.
Beware, mad dog. Beware, killer. We know where you live. We know where your parents live. We will have our revenge.
Pipe bomb.
No, I want to holler the loud, funny words. I like Darren. He is my friend. I like you and him.
One of the really frustrating parts of watching professional wrestling is when you are such a fan of a wrestler. You have a favorite wrestler, and they get what they call buried. They're not, mm-hmm. In your eyes, you're saying, man, why isn't this guy getting more recognition? Why doesn't he have a belt? Why didn't this lady win the title? Why doesn't she have a better feud? Why doesn't she have, get more wins? Not everybody can be a jobber. Not everybody can be a champion. But yep. There are people out there that sometimes they need a little bit better. Let's go over some of yours. Who do you think needs a little bit better push?
Happy Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Yeah, I think Rusev needs a bigger push. Not be buried all the time with the stupid stuff that's going on right now. And, there's another one that I know he's injured again, and this may end him for good, Fandango. Yeah. Fandango, I mean, I would love for that man to win a championship. But he's re-injured again. So
yeah, he can't stay healthy, can he?
No, he can't. Yeah, those two right there, Rusev and – I mean, there's so many. What about The Miz? What happened to The Miz?
He's
there's
battling,
so many.
Yeah, there's so many.
There are so – we could be talking about this till 2021. So I don't really know. These are the three that I think it's Rusev, The Miz, and basically Rusev and The Miz right now.
Okay. Well, and Rusev and The Miz. You have good reason. Now, me, I'm going to throw out more than one name here because these are some of my favorites to watch. Drew McIntyre. Okay. Drew McIntyre needed to be champion 2 years ago.
Yep.
I thought if they could have got a storyline with he and Mr. Boring in the bank, I would have loved that because two big bruisers. Drew McIntyre has the look.
Yep.
He can do a great promo. Yep. I don't know what the reason why, but I would love to see Drew McIntyre get another push, a better push this time. Then I'm going to go with two people who are feuding right now on Raw that I think both of them are tremendous talents. I'm reading, if you want to believe the dirt sheets, that they're going to be getting a push and they need it. Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy. Have you seen them two go at it?
They tell a story in that ring big time. It is good. It's good wrestling.
Good wrestling. Good wrestling. And you said, tell a story, in the ring.
Yes.
They have done it. They do it every time. Buddy Murphy, when he won that belt when they were doing the pay-per-view in Australia, that was the best match of the night. It was incredible. Yep. And then he goes to 205 Live. I think he won the belt for a while. Then comes up to the main roster, and they sold him as a cruiserweight. No, this man is not a cruiserweight. He's a professional wrestler, and he needs to be sold as he can beat anybody. He might be a little bit shorter, but he can beat anybody. I think he's a great talent.
Yeah, he is a good talent. Aleister Black is one heck of – that man should have been – I think he should have been like an Intercontinental champion by now, or a U.S. champion. But Aleister Black is that's the horse of a different color right there.
Oh,
he's,
boy.
he's kind of a strange man, but I think with him and the first match he had was with Cesaro, and that was a barn burner. And I mean, Aleister Black, I have never seen a bad match with Aleister Black. I have never seen one yet.
And then, you know, this past week we had a change in the title with Andrade, now the U.S. champion. And yep. I think on Monday Night Raw, they're going to have Andrade against Aleister Black. And you get that little caveat in there. Who is Aleister Black's wife?
Who is?
Selena Vega. In real life. Yeah, they are married. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so who knows what they're going to do with that, whether they're going to make that a storyline. I don't know. I don't care. But I think they could really do something with it in the future. I love that. But not have a divorce and then a wedding in the ring. Don't do that junk. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
As I was preparing for this, I was kind of looking. I said, well, really, in the women's division, I think they're doing fine in the WWE women's division.
Yeah.
I think the All Elite, we talked about that. I think they just need to rehaul that whole thing or start featuring some of the people they've brought in the last couple of weeks.
They need to. Yeah.
They were so – this champion, this little 4-foot nothing, 93-pound, that might work in Japan, but it's not working here. I don't think there's many people that really like that her.
It's not working.
And it's
not
nothing
working
against the ladies from Japan, because let me tell you once again – the All Elite, the first one they did, All in Chicago, the 6-woman tag match, which was all Oriental competitors. I don't know if they were all from Japan or what. That was one of the matches of the night. I loved it. They told a great story in the ring. So it has nothing to do with her being Japanese. It has something to do with she's not getting over with the crowd the way I think they thought she would. So I will say All Elite, just blow it up and start all over again. That's what they need to do there. So, and then I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Let's bring back Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey will be kind of the leader of the four horsewomen of MMA. So you're going back to NXT and getting those three and bringing them up to the main roster, and they are attacking Charlotte Flair, Becky, and then they go over to SmackDown and attack Sasha Banks and Bayley. So then you get the WrestleMania or SummerSlam moment of four horsewomen of MMA, four horsewomen of wrestling going against each other. To me, that's a great idea.
I think that Ronda will probably come back at the Royal Rumble. I've heard through the grapevine and some of the little Tweety birds that have been on Facebook, they've been saying that Ronda's supposed to come back at the Royal Rumble, but I don't really see that happening because of her little accident that she had with her finger, nearly getting that blown half in two. So I really don't see that at all, but you never know. That's what the Royal Rumble's all about, surprises.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. So a couple other ones that I'm going to throw out there and get your opinion on. In NXT, he's been injured the last part of the season. I hope he comes back soon because I really enjoyed his work. The Velveteen Dream. Oh, Dream Over. I loved his work.
Yeah, he's good too, but I mean, he can't stay away from being, he's accident prone. And I mean, it seems like there's more and more wrestlers these days that are getting hurt, and give him some steroids or something, or give him an injection, do something. Give him some horse steroids. I don't know. Well, give him something. I mean, geez, these guys, he's got more lives than a cat, but he just gets hurt. He gets hurt so dang much.
He does. That does happen, though. Hey, these guys, it's a dangerous profession.
And yes,
people say, oh, it's fake. No, it's predetermined.
No.
But these guys get hit. They have accidents that occur in the ring, tear muscles, tear ligaments. I mean, look at Cesaro. Remember, he hit that ring post and his teeth went up in his mouth and to his sinus cavity. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Things happen.
Well, they had one in Impact. Tessa Blanchard knocked off this 350-something pound off the top of a ladder, and he broke his neck going through a table.
Oof.
So, first of all, Nutrisystem will help you out, sir. but second of all, you're not supposed, a 300-something pound man is not supposed to be on top of a ladder. Thank you.
Right.
Go ahead.
So, a tag team that I'd love to see get a little bit more of a push because I just love their work. The Forgotten Sons. Oh, one of my favorites in NXT. They are so much fun to watch. I think they're great as heels. And that military gimmick they use, I just love watching the Forgotten Sons. And then Dominik Dijakovic. I've been a fan of his since its NXT days. ROH days. I'm going to throw in Eli Drake needing a better push. I'd love to see him as the champion. I really would.
Eli Drake is he's got that little catchphrase now. Everyone loves it, and we all know what it is. Yeah.
He started that in Impact.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, but that was almost like what with Stone Cold. So. Yeah. But
let,
it is.
Let
good.
Me talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. I love it when he does that, and when he comes up to the mic, and it's the first. Let me talk to you, and the crowd just eats it alive. Yeah. They love it. Yeah. They love it.
And one of his first places he really got a little push was Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Now I never saw him there. The first time I saw him was Impact. So I think he's a great talent. I was surprised he wasn't signed. But he wanted to go to NWA instead of going to see Vince. And more power to him. More power to him.
Hey, there's more than just one organization to go to these days. He can go off and be a star someplace else, and he is making his mark in the NWA, which he's doing very well.
Doing very well. Any other wrestler you can think of right now?
That needs a push?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dang, I don't really know. I've got a tag team. The with Seth now. Who are those two? They need to go back.
Authors of Pain, yeah.
AOP or whatever. They need a push. But, I mean, I think the storyline's stupid for putting those two together with Seth. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's the Revival. They need a new push, too. Yeah,
they could do that.
So they could do that. That's basically all I can see right now.
Wouldn't the Revival be good to team them up with a manager?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, old school. That's what they say. Old school. Get them a manager out there. I'd love that.
Well, see, they tried that with one guy. They did contact one person, and he did turn them down. He said, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, I will not do that." And he didn't want to go back to managing, but he said if it was his last hurrah to do it, he would only do it for the Revival, and that would have been it.
Who was that?
Jim Cornette.
Oh, can you imagine him getting back in the WWE? I'm surprised they contacted him. So,
well, they did, but he just said, "Look, I'm tired of professional wrestling. I'm tired of the politics and the BS." And he said, "I just want to live my life and just go on about my business."
Yeah.
So, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap things up. Up next, we'll be talking more about just some final thoughts on the year of 2019 and things that hopefully we'll be getting ready for in the year 2020. Another segment of Butt Fumbles right here on Turnbuckle Trash. The year 2019, I think, is going to be going down as one of the most important years in the world of professional wrestling. Why? Because of what happened in October when you had the WWE Raw. Then you had, coming up on Tuesday night, you had Impact moving to Access. And then you had also, I think, New Japan was on Access the same night. And NWA Power coming up on YouTube on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, you had All Elite Wrestling on TNT. On USA Network, you had NXT Wrestling. And Friday night, SmackDown on Fox TV. All that happened within 1 week. Now, there was a build-up to it. But I still say, when you look back on the history of professional wrestling, that segment right in there will become one of the most important segments, whether it is successful and gets another push for professional wrestling or it falls on its face and professional wrestling starts to die in a slow death again. That's what I look back on 2019. Chris?
I think 2019 we saw the era of professional wrestling take off like a bottle rocket. It's never stopped going up, 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 and up. But I'm also going to bring up another thing here. 2019, we saw two trash heads cutting promos against each other.
Okay.
We saw two trash heads cutting promos.
Well, they're which pretty I thought trashy was awesome. Guys, yeah.
Yeah, two trashy guys. One's bald and the other one I don't know yet. but this, it was a great time for me and Zane to talk about comedy and wrestling. I had a ball with that because it's so much fun. And I enjoyed the WWE. I have enjoyed so much of NWA Power. I think NWA is going to take off even farther. AEW, you did a wonderful job on your first night, although you need to start teaching your wrestlers how to actually punch.
Yep.
ladies and gentlemen, I have seen some real bad acting in my day, but that right there took the Kabanza beans. I loved it.
Yeah.
And now they're getting scrutinized for that now. Okay, yeah. Guys, let me see you go in there and power slam Dustin Rhodes, and you do that. He was caught in the moment. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But it's good.
It happens.
It happens, yes.
And I know it's not going to stop, but I'm just going to say, I wish social media would slow down a little bit with negativity. I love social media. I have a Facebook account. Don't quite understand Twitter. It just doesn't jive with me. I also have an Instagram account. But I do wish that the negativity, the trolling, would just go away.
Never will.
No, it never will. I understand
never
that.
Never will.
I think we need, as fans, to just, you know, you can obviously tell when somebody's trying to get a response. Just don't give them a response. I'll go back to the one guy on Real Wrestling Fans that put up something that was political, and it didn't deserve to be there. But he was trying to turn it into a wrestling thing. But it just didn't work. And I put, there's the award for the stupidest post on social media of the year. And his response was, well, that's the worst response to a post on social media of the year. And I wanted to go say, wow, you're mature. But I think I'm just going to back off on some of these idiots and just say, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion, unless they step over the bounds.
I still like the one where you said, where the guy says, prove me right. Prove me wrong. Prove you're right.
Yeah,
prove you're right.
Yeah, I did prove that to one guy. He wasn't happy with me either. Because they'll say, John Moxley needs to be the All Elite champion. Prove me wrong.
Prove you're right.
Prove me right. I mean,
prove you're right.
Am I making that decision to make John Moxley the champion? Is this idiot on social media making the decision to put John Moxley as the champion? No, that's called management. That's why it's a story, guys.
Yes, I know.
Boys and girls, moms and dads, we can all follow a story, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
And wear cardigans and have a good time watching professional wrestling. Mm.
And then kill the rabbit every 5 or 10 days or something like that. Dang,
Kill the rabbit.
Yeah. Kill the rabbit. No, but I don't know. I mean, social media, when they designed social media, it's almost like somebody who created Monopoly. When he created Monopoly, he either didn't like his family or he wanted to make sure every other family didn't like each other. That's the way I see it. But
I hate that game, by the way. I hate Monopoly.
We played that on Christmas, and I swear everybody was, you know, good Lord. And the funny thing is, my family in Paris was playing Parisopoly.
Parisopoly,
and I'm just like, what?
I have St. Louis Cardinalopoly at my house.
Ooh, yes. Well, a card game that goes nowhere. I mean, go Red Sox.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah,
but,
sorry.
Yeah, so that's the year that was, 2019, and now we're looking forward to 2020. Yep. I'll tell you the one thing I'm really looking forward to in 2020, the main thing, where is WrestleMania 2021 going to be? Las Vegas, I'm hoping.
Well, you know, they built that new stadium.
Yeah, for the Raiders.
For the Raiders, and that thing looks like the have you seen what it looks like?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a spaceship, doesn't it?
Looks like the Death Star. Expecting Darth Vader to come out any minute.
That'd be Raider fans, I'll tell you that. That's a unique group of individuals right there.
That is the family that you never knew that was at the end of the table that's only eating the scrap. Yeah, I think Las Vegas is fixing to host a WrestleMania. But let's talk about that for just a second. What city could never host a WrestleMania?
Big city? Salt Lake
City. Like Nashville.
Nashville. Never. Memphis might. That could happen. But you
where
gotta,
would they put it?
Yeah, well, the FedEx Forum.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Memphis might because of that history. St. Louis might because they have a great history. Nashville is not quite big enough, I don't think. I don't think that
would
be happen.
Like in Kentucky. Kentucky would never have a WrestleMania. Right. What are you going to do? Banjos and barbed wire.
Yeah. Well, and Salt Lake City probably will never have a WrestleMania, although Monday Night Raw is going to be there. I think it's in February, and that's going to be the first time in like 10 years that they've had a TV show in Salt Lake City. But Salt Lake City doesn't have the, doesn't have the facilities, doesn't have the panache. It's not a top 15 market.
Yeah.
I just don't think of that. And honestly, I've been to a couple of house shows for WWE, and they struggle to drive 4,000 to 5,000. I don't know if they could sell out the Vivid Smart Home Arena, which holds almost 20,000 for an event like that. But maybe they could do a pay-per-view of some sort and get 10 to 12, maybe a little bit more. So who knows?
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's all I could think of with 2019, and 2020 vision is coming, and hopefully Vince will have his 2020 vision back and find out when he can, what he needs to do to make his ratings go up and make, because Raw is just tanking so bad now. So I don't know. We'll see, but it is what it is.
I saw a promo on ABC while I was watching football this weekend, and they had Barbara Walters, and remember her famous saying, this is 2020. Mm-hmm. So perfect because of the year we're going in. So hats off to ABC.
And we have something else that's coming up in 2020. If you're a big football fan, the XFL
is
coming to you. The XFL is coming. And let's see if it bombs quicker than your mother's casserole. No, I'm joking. Mom, don't hear that. I'm sorry. Mom, I didn't mean it. No.
Well, Chris,
other than that, everything's good.
It's been so much fun having you be a bigger part of the show over the last year, year and a half. And I'm sure Zane would tell you the same thing. But he would make fun of you at the same time. So,
Of course, that's what we have to do. We love to do that.
Yeah,
we love to do that. So,
well, you
and
have
Zane, there's still no comedy in wrestling. I'm sorry, but
not even with Braun Strowman dancing. That was hilariously funny.
That was funny, but I have a lot of respect for the man, Zane. He's a good guy. And we may jab at each other, but ladies and gentlemen, it's all in fun, and that's all we do it for. It's just to get a kick out of everybody, and I enjoy doing it just to see what kind of response I can get out of it. It's a lot of fun. I love it.
Well, thanks a lot once again. That's our year. Look back at the year 2019. As on Turnbuckle Trash, we always remind you we're doing this in a fan's point of view. We're not experts. We don't claim to be experts. Okay. We are just fans who love professional wrestling.
Yep, that's it. That's all we are. And thank you to everyone who's been on the podcast, from the superstar Bill Dundee to everyone from Devotion and everybody that's going to be. Hopefully we can get some more people on here. And, guys, it's always an honor, and it's always fun to do. I love every minute of it.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
just a little bit hotter than Chris is. So.
Well, he's always that way.
Yeah.
He's the sexy boy.
Yeah.
So you know, I have a pretty good memory, but it's about the second shortest thing I own. So.
Budding the opponent.
What?
Budding the opponent.
What about people who don't have butts? You know?
There's a little bit of inbreeding with some of these people.
They know that AEW is going to beat them. They know that AEW is better.
You've been reading social media way too much. idiot.
Yep. You washed up piece of tattooed garbage.
Chris on the mat coming in 3, 2, and 1. That was a good countdown there, man. I'm gonna have to use that for the blooper reel, okay?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Are we weird and everybody else is normal, or are we normal and everybody else is weird?